So obviously, Chevra, I hope everyone is physically well, but emotionally, I'm sure we're all still very, very much shaken and broken from the sights that we've seen the past few days and the stories that we're hearing and the hespedim that we've listened to. I wanted to talk tonight about a mitzvah that has a very, very significant place in this week's parsha. But the truth is, it's much more than just the opening mitzvah in this week's parsha. Rashi, in one of his most famous comments in all of his commentary on the Torah, one of the most famous comments of Rashi, Rashi says in the beginning of this week's parsha, Bahar B'chukosai, double parsha this week, Rashi asks, Ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai? Why specifically by this mitzvah of shmita, the sabbatical year, does it mention har Sinai? V'halo kol ha-mitzvahs nemru mi-Sinai? Weren't all the mitzvahs given over at Mount Sinai, right? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and brings down all the Torah for the Jewish people, all 613 mitzvahs. Obviously, they all weren't written down yet. They were Torah Shebal Peh, Halacha Moshe Misinai. And we know that ultimately the source of all mitzvahs comes from Har Sinai. So what does it mean when our parsha says, Vayidaber Adonai al Moshe b'Har Sinai lemor, that Hashem says to Moshe on Har Sinai? Again, to teach him about the sabbatical year, that every seventh year the land has to lie fallow, all mitzvahs were given at Sinai. So what does Rashi answer? Rashi says, Elamash Shemitah nemru klolosel pradosel v'dutel misinai, just like the mitzvah of Shemitah, that all the general ideas, all of the details and all of the minutia were given over at Sinai. Af kula nemru kolosein v'diktukehen mi Sinai. So too, all of the general rules and the details and the minutia of all mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. And Rashi brings another pshat that has a historical context, but this is a famous comment of Rashi, and this has basically become Jewish colloquial for, like, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China, right? Matin yin shmita etzel har Sinai. What does one thing have to do with the other? What does the sabbatical year have to do with Mount Sinai? So, okay, so it's a nice lesson that there are a lot of rules and a lot of details that go into the mitzvah of shmita, the sabbatical year. And hence, the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us that all of the details of all the mitzvahs come from Har Sinai. But all the Mefarshim are struggling and are still bothered. But why this mitzvah? Meaning you could have taken any mitzvah that has a lot of general rules and a lot of details. And guess what? There are a lot of mitzvahs like that. A lot of mitzvahs have general rules and details. So why pick Shemitah? You could have picked any mitzvah. So one of the ways that this question is answered, that again, Matin Yen Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, meaning the question it seems to still remain even after the answer that Rashi gives. But let's compound the question. Let's make the question even stronger with a Mishnah from this week's Perek in Pirkei Avos. We know for 6 weeks in between Pesach and Shavuos, the Minig Yisrael, the Minig is that the Jewish people, they learn Pirkei Avos, they learn Ethics of the Fathers, six chapters for the 6 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos, because again, there's one Shabbos that's always part of Pesach, right? So we know the fifth chapter is really where things get a little bit different, where things don't follow the pattern of the first four chapters, and we find a lot of lists in the fifth chapter. It's like a little bit different, and the truth is, the fifth chapter is really the last chapter. The sixth chapter was added on. It's a collection of brisos, external Tanaitic teachings, all the six chapters, all about Torah, because they added it on for this limud, for this national learning of Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, so that there would be a sixth chapter for that sixth Shabbos. But in the fifth chapter, some have it as the ninth Mishnah, some have it as part of the 11th Mishnah. You know, the breakup of the Mishnahs are a little bit different, but it lists a number of punishments and says what mitzvos ultimately were violated that led to this. So, galus bal olam. Why does exile come to the world? Right? Why were the Jewish people exiled from their land? So we expect the answer. The answer is al avodas kochavim, val gilia royus, val shvichus domim. It says because of idolatry, adultery, and murder. And in fact, we know this. Dafayomi, the Lomdei Dafayomi, learned this not too long ago. This is something that is often spoken about when it comes to Tisha B'Av time, that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and in fact, the first concept of Golus, when the Jewish people were expelled for the first time from their homeland, and the first temple, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was the cause of the three cardinal sins in Judaism: idolatry, adultery, and murder. And those three sins, we know, are the grossest manifestations of the corruption of the three primary relationships that we have in our life, right? Between us and God, that is idolatry. Between us and our fellow man, that's murder. And between us and ourself, bin adam la'atzmo, and that is gilui arayus, when a person just gives in to the physicality, corruption of who we are. Like, you don't understand who you are if you do that, right? So we know that the first temple was destroyed because the people were steeped in those sins, right? But that's not where the Mishnah ends. The Mishnah says there's a fourth sin. There's a fourth sin that brings the Jewish people into exile, that brings them out of their land and destruction of temple. You know what that is? V'al shemitas ha'aretz. That if the Jewish people do not keep the sabbatical year, if the Jewish people don't keep Shemitah, they're going to lose the land. They're going to be kicked out. So I understand on one level why they're kicked out, because, you know, mida keneged mida, you know, a measure for measure. God never punishes. When the Puranis comes, when divine punishments come, they're not, God forbid, to hurt us. They're not here out of spite or out of the anger of God, despite anthropomorphic imagery that we might find in Tanakh, notwithstanding. But really, it's to teach us a lesson, right? That God brings lessons upon his children. God is miyaser. He sets us straight, and at times brings punishment the way a parent punishes a child. A parent never punishes a child out of anger, God forbid, right? A parent doesn't punish a child out of frustration with the child. That's very, very bad parenting. But punishment is to teach a child a lesson, right? So mida keneged mida. So I understand, because they didn't keep the mitzvah of the land, the primary mitzvah of the land, shemitas ha'aretz. So you know what? You're going to lose the land. You're going to lose your rights to the land. So on one level, I get it. But to put it together with the three cardinal sins in Judaism, right? Like the big three in Judaism, idolatry, adultery, and murder, the three grossest manifestations of the ruined relationships. So Shemitah Sa'aretz. So let's get down to really what Shemitah is about. And you know what Shemitah is about? What does Shemitah teach us? And Rav Tzvi Meir Silberberg Shlita, in his Sichas, Rav Tzvi Meir, one of the great tzaddikim, mashpiyim of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, someone that we bezocha to learn from a lot, from his svarim, in conversation with him. So Rav Tzvi Meir points out, like, we really don't have so much of a concept of what the mitzvah of Shemitah is really supposed to drive home. How many of you owned a farm, worked on a farm, made your living off a farm? I know there are some people in Arishul who grew up on farms, and their parents actually did make the living off a farm for a number of years. But most of us don't have that concept. And certainly, we wouldn't say that our society in general is an agricultural, agrarian-based society, right? We're not based on that. The primary economic building blocks of our country and Eretz Yisrael today is not, I mean, the Dorot carrots from Israel are nice, the peppers from Israel, the Jaffa oranges are nice, but Israel is known not as much for their oranges as for their computer chips and their superconductors, right? For Waze, not for the oranges, Jaffa oranges anymore. And Rav Tzvi Meir says, when you look back, though, at what agriculture meant to the society and the economy of ancient Israel, it was everything. What do you mean? It was everything. And so therefore, when a person's livelihood, everything they had was based upon how their crops grew, and they invested so much in their crops, and they davened Hashem, right? Hashem, let it rain, right? Make sure my crops grow. But then you tell them, by the way, there's a year soon that you're just going to have to stop. You're not going to do anything. How do we do that? How do we do that? And many tzaddikim brings down, Rav Tzvi Meir brings down, that what's the lekach? What's the lesson of this mitzvah? The lesson of this mitzvah, of course, of Shemitah, is a fundamental lesson of bitachon, of trusting in God. it's very easy to have faith in God. It's harder to have trust in God. There's emuna, there's a faith, and then there is bitachon. Very often they're interchangeable, and of course, they're really totally inextricably linked. These are two concepts that hub the hatalia. They're one based on the other. The Ramban, sorry, just getting the text of the Ramban. The Ramban, in a famous essay about faith, the lashon of the Ramban is shehemuna hua ilon v'habitachon hua pri, that faith is the tree, and trust, bitachon, that is the fruit. Meaning, they're part of the same organism. Faith and trust, if you will. Faith is the tree. Trust is the fruit that comes from the tree. Some refer to bitachon, trust in God, as emuna lemaisa, practical faith. Faith in the real world. And so, you know, it's easy for the farmer to daven to Hashem, to have trust in Hashem, that Hashem, you know, it comes from Hashem as they're plowing, as they're planting, as they're working so hard, and they're seeing the fruits of their labor. And then comes the year in which you say, you think it's the fruits of your labor? Listen, you have to put in labor because that was the curse of Adam, right? But it's all illusions. It's all illusions. It's not the fruit of your labor. It's the fruit of God's labor. Hashem is the one that makes it all grow, not you. And you know what? You're going to take off a year to demonstrate your trust in God. But one might say it even a little bit better. Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said, it's not that to demonstrate our trust in God, but it's to reinforce and build our trust in God. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechusi Yegin Aleinu, in one of his sichos, he points out that this is the reason why the Torah specifically says, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemar, specifically by the mitzvah of Shemitah. You know why? Because the mitzvah of Shemitah is really the essence of what it is to be a Jew. That 6 years, the Torah says, 6 years, you plow, you plant, you prune, you reap, you harvest, you winnow, you put it all together. 6 years, you live in the world. But then there's a seventh year that you have to recognize that there's really something beyond this world. For 6 years, a person can get very, very caught up in their own mindset of this is who I am and this is what I accomplish. And kochi v'otzim yadi, that it's my power and it's the strength of my hand that's accomplishing this. Comes the year of Shemitah, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, and introduces a whole different reality. There's a metaphysical reality. There's nothing to do with you. And he says, of course, we're supposed to experience this every week. 6 days a week we work, and there's a seventh day, the Shabbos. And he says that the lesson of Shabbos is, in fact, believe it or not, when you think about it, in some ways it's more intense than the lesson of Shemitah. Meaning during Shemitah you're allowed to cook. It's not really a Shabbos of the whole year. It's a Shabbos of the land. The land doesn't work, but you can do your work during the Shemitah year, meaning in your house. You can sew, you can write, you can cook, you can select things from another, things that you can't do on Shabbos. He says Shabbos is a little bit more intense, and it's coming every week because it's trying to give you that little boost. But the general corrective, right, of totally or having a reset, that's what Shemitah is about. And this is the machzor, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. This is the cycle of life for a Jew. That we have to know that our life is of course, we go through the motions of living in a world of nature, in a world of Teva. But we know that we live totally above Teva. To a Jew, as the Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo, essentially there is no Teva, there is no nature. We know that everything comes from God. And that's the corrective that the year of Shemitah is supposed to help us. It's supposed to bring us to a sense of bitachon. And the Chazon Ish, in his famous sefer, Emunah and Bitachon, the Chazon Ish points out, I mean, first, it's an interesting mashal. What is bitachon? What does it mean to really have trust in Hashem? What does it mean to trust in Hashem? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus gives a very beautiful, then cute mashal. He says, you know what, the way he understands bitachon, he says, you know what bitachon is? He says, bitachon is when you get on an airplane and all of a sudden it starts going down a runway very quick and then it lifts off and then you hit turbulence and it shakes. And you have bitachon that there's a pilot that's flying the plane. Because otherwise, would you ever get on the plane? when the plane starts hurtling down the runway at this very, very fast speed and starts going up, like, what's going on? But you know, 1 second, there's a pilot. There's someone that I'm placing my hands in, someone that I believe is going to do their best to take care of us. And so even when the plane starts shaking, you're like, okay, there's a pilot, and I know the pilot knows what to do in this case, right? This is what we tell ourselves, to calm ourselves down, maybe get a little chaim on the plane to calm yourself down. But he says, ultimately, bitachon is the plane of life. And there are times that it shakes. There are times that we get scared. There are times when, you know, we're not expecting, let's say, a drop, a big drop in the plane, right? And you ever had one time on a flight back from Chicago, it was mamish like a roller coaster. I think it was the worst flight I ever had in my life. I was mamish holding on to the seats, davening and saying to hell, mamish like a roller coaster, up and down, right? But that happens in life also. That happens in life. And the Chazon Ish in Emunah and Bitachon, he famously says, Bitachon doesn't mean that we're not going to have tsaros. That we're not going to hit turbulence, that we're not going to get up and down and get maybe sick from it. But he says that the bitachon means that ultimately everything that happens has a purpose for it. And that God doesn't bring a gezeira, God forbid, that's just a gezeira raw. But rather, a person that's boteach b'Hashem, he knows, Sheshum davar ra lo yikra lo al yidei hagorel ha'iver o al yidei mikra. He says, bitachon means, trust means, that there's no such thing as blind fate. There's no such thing as luck, as chance. Ein mikra, hakol mishamayim. Everything ultimately is from heaven. And if from heaven something comes that is difficult for you, so you have to understand that's something that ultimately is very good. Even that's what bitachon is, even if we can't understand it. Chazon Ish said bitachon doesn't mean it's all going to turn out good for us here in this world. We don't understand what that means. But ultimately, as Rabbi Akiva, one of his great teachings that he got from his Rabbi Nachim Ish Gamzu, his Rabbi would say Gamzu Latova. Rabbi Akiva, in the famous story that Gemara has when he was traveling with a rooster and a donkey and his candle and some came and ate the rooster, then the lion came and ate the donkey, then the candle blew out, and Rabbi Akiva called David Rachman on top of it. Everything that happens ultimately, Lataf, is for good. Rabbi Akiva saw how it was for good, right? The next day, the Gemara tells us that a band of marauders from, some say, an enemy army came into the town that he was looking for hospitality in, that everyone turned them away from, attacked the town, and no one was left in that town. And Rabbi Akiva realized that if he had the rooster, the donkey making noise, he had the candle, the army with the marauders would see him and they would come for him. But we know ultimately Rabbi Akiva, at the end of his life, we don't see Kol David Rachman Ol Tavod. Rabbi Akiva was tortured to death. Moshe Rabbeinu was troubled by what happened to Rabbi Akiva. That's when he asked God, Hareini Nas Kvodcha, show me why bad things happen to good people, according to the Gemara Brachos. And Hashem says, Lo Yirani Ha'adam V'choy, that a person can't see me and live, meaning you can't understand when you're still in this world. And that's what Chazon Ish says bitachon is. Bitachon is knowing that ultimately everything that comes is from Hashem and that there's a purpose to it. It doesn't mean that we're going to feel that things are good, that meet our definition of good, our wants and our expectations. That's not necessarily the case, the Chazon Ish says. But bitachon is the trust that Hashem is the pilot. That Hashem is the pilot, and that Eibishter is following the plan. And again, there might be difficult times. There might be difficult times. But this is the lesson of Shemitah. This is the lesson of Shemitah. This is to bring home to us, and to remind us, and to bring it deep, plant it deep, deep inside. Meaning, you know, to take it from here, what we know and what we can say, and put it in here. And this is why, of course, the first question that when we get to the Bez and Shalmala, the Gemara and Shab Samarav tells us is Nasosa v'nasata be'emuna, where you're honest in business. Because it's very easy to say, oh, I believe in Hashem, and Hashem takes care, and all your parnos is from Hashem. But then don't act like an animal in business. Don't, God forbid, do things that are illegal or immoral and unscrupulous in business. Because if you're doing that, you're showing clearly that you don't believe everything is from God, that you don't trust your parnasa is from Hashem. And this is the corrective. This is the lesson that Shemitah is supposed to bring home. And yes, this is by Har Sinai. This is why it's the lesson from Har Sinai. This is why Bayis Rishon, Galus Bala Olam, for the big three sins, idolatry, adultery, and murder, and also Shemitah Sa'aretz. You know why? Because as we've said so often, quoted the Gemara in the end of Makos, Bach Havakuk v'amidan alachas, from Tzvi Meir Silberberg Shlita, he points out, Bach Havakuk v'amidan alachas, what does it mean? Havakuk the prophet, he came, v'amidan alachas. And the normally way, the way we translate it, and he said, all of Torah boils down to one thing. Right? What's that one thing? Tzadik be'amunaso yichya. That a tzadik lives with her and his amuna. A tzadik lives with their amuna. Tzadik be'amunaso yichya. Right? And we know a tzaddik falls many times. But the tzaddik gets back up. Because the emunah is what lifts the tzaddik up. The emunah in Hashem, that Hashem's not abandoning me. When a tzaddik gets beat down, tzaddik emunah sayichya, the tzaddik lives with the emunah and gets right back up because shavi yipal tzaddik v'kam, because the emunah is mechazik the tzaddik, that the tzaddik can keep going. But in order to be Meyer points out, it says, Bach Havakuk Hanavi, who prophesied for the end of days, Havakuk, who was the son of the Isha Shunamis, who died, that Elisha brought back to life. That was Havakuk, many say. Right? So you know what Rav Tzvi Meir says? The Lashon of the Gemara, the language is Bach Havakuk Vemidan. Havakuk came Vehemid. What does it mean, Hemid? Hemidu Talmidim Harbe, established, set up. Bach Havakuk Vehemidan Alachas. Havakuk came and said, Hemidan. He stood all of Torah on one principle. All of Torah boils, meaning, what does it mean boils down? It's all built on one principle. Our ability to serve Hashem is built on one principle. Tzadik be'emunah sayichya. It all comes down to emunah. And therefore, that is the yesod of a person. This is the yesod, the foundation for each and every one of us, that all of our lives are built on, all our service of God is built on. Tzadik be'emunah sayichya. And how do we come to emunah? So we've said many times an idea from the Slonim Rechassid, or Mordechai Lachvitcher, and many others, right? Hemanti ki adaber. That we have to speak of emunah. That when Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe would say, Gamzu latova nachem ish gamzu, he had a very difficult life. He had some very horrific tragedies happen to him, nachem ish gamzu. But always, Gamzu latova, this also is for the good. That's what it means, hemanti ki adaber, that I believe because I speak words of belief. Right? Rabbi Akiva, kol David Rachman al Tava, that everything that Hashem does is for the best. No matter what, everything that Hashem does is for the best. When we speak words of emunah, be'ezrus Hashem, with Hashem's help, b'siyata d'shmaya, with help from heaven, Hashem should just help us. But at the same time, we ask Hashem to give us emunah. Right, Rav Tzvi Meir says one of the great ways to get emunah is through learning Torah. Why is that? Because we know, again, we got a little Kabbalistic in our shir last night and davening. We'll get a little Kabbalistic again now. He brings down that we know all of the Torah is really Shemos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of Torah, again, Torah Sevechsav, certainly, it's all combinations, Tzirufei Osios, combinations of the letters of God's name. All of the Torah is just the name of God. So therefore, any time we're seeking truth of Torah, what are you doing? You're connecting to the deepest truth of God. And therefore, he says that whenever a person learns Torah, you're able to merit, you're able to be zocha to the clarity of the very first words that Hashem said to the Jewish people, the very first words of Torah that Hashem spoke at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God. Right? So all of Torah, whenever we learn Torah, it can bring that to us. And Tzvi Meir says that before we learn Torah, we should ask Hashem, Hashem, please let the Torah that I'm learning implant deep inside me faith in you and trust in you, Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why actually some say it at the end of every Oz Yashir, but we know it's from the Rosh Hashanah Davening, the end of the Malchio section of Hashem is King. The end of that section, what do we say? Uvisoroscha kosov leimar. That in your Torah, it's written saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The ultimate statement of faith. You know how you get there? Uvisoroscha Kosovlim. In your Torah, Hashem, it's written saying Shema Yisrael, meaning the way many tzaddikim understand it, Rabbi Meir says, is through learning Torah we can come to Emuna. Through learning Torah we come to recognize that the whole world is run by the Eibishter, and that Rabbi Meir brings down, and again this is brought in many svarim, that the Rebbe Reb Melech, the Noemi Melech of Lezhensk, brings down the name of his brother, Reb Zusha Manipoli, the Rebbe Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha says that it's in this week's parsha that the Torah tells us of the question the people are going to ask of Hashem when they're confronted with the mitzvah of Shemitah. They're going to say, Hashem, what are we going to eat? I don't get it. We're going to stop plowing. We're going to stop everything at the end of the sixth year, a month before Rosh Hashanah, the seventh year. What are we going to be able to eat? What are we going to have the next year? Where are we going to be eating from? So Hashem says, Al Kein Tzveisi, don't worry, I'm going to command the land. You're going to have enough on the sixth year, for the seventh year, for the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year. So it's a little bit strange. Why is the Torah bring down the question that then Hashem says, and I'll command that the land, just say, why does it bring down the questions that people are going to have? Just say that, and the land will produce enough that you're not going to have to worry. You're not going to have to worry because you don't work the land in the seventh year. So the Noam Elimelech quotes his brother, the Rebbe Reb Zusha, that you know why the Torah tells us the question? Because if the person doesn't have the question, for sure, it's going to be provided. No question. A person that has that deep bitachon through a mitzvah, because of a mitzvah, they're going to lose. That's what he says. But when they ask the question, when they have that lack of emunah, again, not everyone sees it this way. Some say that this is a natural question that is going to be brought up by this mitzvah. And the Torah is telling us just the opposite. Some say that the Torah is telling us it's natural to have questions. But don't worry, Hashem has the answer for the questions. We don't always see them, right? But that's, again, gufa. This is why Dafka, by the mitzvah of Shemitah, that's teaching us about Emunah and Bitachon, that it could be that we can have such questions. It's normal to have questions in Emunah and Bitachon. And don't worry, the Eibishter has the answers, even though if we don't see them. But the way the Rebbe Reb Zusha said is that sometimes when we ask questions, it stops the Shefa. It doesn't allow the Shefa to come down. As we said in our Tefillah Shir last night from Rav Moshe Wolfson, that the Hamtakas Adinim, the sweetening of judgment, by accepting what comes to us is coming from the Ribono Shalom and accepting that this is a gzeira from the Melech. So that's ultimately what makes the Shefa come down only is kulo kulo bracha. And this is something that comes from this mitzvah that we have to work on. And we're now towards the end of Sfira. And we know that the first part of Sfira, the first 32 days, is the lev of Sfira, the heart of Sfira. The last 17 days of Sfira is the tov of Sfira, lev tov. But we know the Gemara says, in tov el Torah. It's the last 7 days, the first 32 days, we're working la'olam yehei adam, that we have to be a mensch, right? That this Vilna Gaon says in Evan Shlema, that we're here in this world to be mesakin armidos. And it's only once we work on Tikkun HaMidos we can be Zocha to really come to Torah. But now we see from tonight, it's not only that you can only come to Torah properly when we work on our Midos. We only come to Emunah, real faith, when we work on our Midos. Rachmana Litzlan, a person that doesn't work on the lave, a person that doesn't work. So it could be pogame in their Emunah and in their Bitachon. And chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. So we see that this is something that really, v'yedaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai lemar, ma'inyin shmita etzal har Sinai. You know why shmita is by har Sinai? Because shmita is mamish kol kulo shel haTorah kedosha. Shmita is the whole essence of what the Torah is all about. B'chavakuk v'emidan alachas. Chavakuk came and says it's all one thing. Yes, 6 days a week we work. And then there's a Shabbos, 6 years we work. We live in a world of Teva. But the seventh year is a Megala. The seventh year makes sure that it's revealed to us in a very clear way. In a way much more than shutting off our cell phones on Friday afternoon. Mamish, next year is a Shemitah year. they're going to be farmers a month before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh El. They're going to put up a sign in the front of their pardesim, their orchards and their fields, and say, Ani Shomer Shemitah, right? And their fields are going to be hefker. People can walk in and take whatever happens to grow. Do you understand the lesson in that? It's an unbelievable nisayon for those farmers. What's going to be? What's going to be by them? But it's really a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson for all of us that Hashem's piloting the plane. As the Chazon Ish says in his Sefer Emunah Bitachon, that anything that happens, we have to understand, Meis Hashem Haisazos, that this is from the Eibishter, we don't understand, but we have to know that the Eibishter has a plan. The Eibishter has a plan, and that what we have to do is, we have to hold on to our Emunah. We've often said, the teaching from Rav Wolfson on that Gemara, Bacha Vakot V'anidan Alachas, that at the end of days, Rav Wolfson says, that Chavakuk, most of Chavakuk's prophecies are all about Ikvsa the Mashiach, the end of days. Chavakuk v'amidan alachas, Rav Wolfson says, Chavakuk comes and tells us that at the end of days is going to be tremendous challenges in faith and trust in God. Whether it's the greatest crime against humanity, the greatest crime against the Jewish people, the Shoah, or whether we're talking about a world in which God is totally hidden, right? Where's God in today's world? Whether it's the famous story of the Russian cosmonaut, he goes into space and he says, where's God? I don't see God. Ha ha, there's no God. I mean, we talk about scientific innovation. People say, what do you mean God? Mankind, we're the ones that control everything. Rav Wolfson said, Baruch Havakuk v'midan alachas. Havakuk warns us, gives us a heads up. At the end of days, the greatest challenge is going to be your faith. And that's how we have to build ourselves. We have to build ourselves with our faith. But from Sfira we know that we build our faith only through building our Midas Tovos. We build our faith through commitment to learning Torah. Ha b'hotalia, it all depends one on the other. And I just hope, Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zocha to siyata d'shemaya, we should all merit tremendous help from Hashem. That we should be zocha to hold on to our Emunah. That we should be zocha through darkness to build our Emunah more and more. And as we say, that the Mizmer Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, Tov Lodos L'Hashem L'Zamer L'Shim Chalyom L'Hagid B'Boker Chastecha V'Emunoscha B'Alelos, every Shabbos is supposed to be that jolt of Emunah and Bitachon. But the mitzvah of Shemitah is much more than a jolt. The mitzvah of Shemitah is called kulo, an entire immersion in Emunah and Bitachon. And again, I'm not a farmer. You're not a farmer. I don't really know people that are farmers. I guess the guy I get my esrog from, he's a farmer. I've never met him. The guy I get it from is in Lakewood. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva there during the year. Right? So we might not be farmers, but we all need to be Shomer Shemitah. We might not be putting a sign on our fields, come Aleph Elul, because already 30 days before Shemitah, you don't work it. 30 days before, you stop working the land, except for very few cases that you can still do it. But we all forget next year Shemitah. Right now, we have to be Shomer Shemitah. Right now, each and every one of us has to work on this Yisod that Kol HaTorah Kula is based on. And Be'ezus Hashem will be Zocha to all be Shomer Shemitah. Have a good night, everyone. Have a good week.